And so someone asked me recently if I would do a talk about freedom and about the freedom that comes from letting go of the things of the world that cause us anxiety and stress and anger. Why would she want to hear a talk about that? You know, I think she, along with the rest of us, would so much rather be at peace. We would rather feel calm and be poised. We'd like to live in emotional balance and have this sense that we are safe no matter what's going on and that all is well. So do you ever have things that happen in your life that cause you anxiety or fear? Yeah. Or anger? So one thing that I want to tell you about anger before I get started, if you don't already know this, is anger is a secondary emotion. And what that means is that underneath anger is either hurt or fear. So let's say you're driving on the freeway and someone cuts you off and you get really angry at them for cutting you off. If you dig down underneath that, there's a fear there. And I discovered that in my own life, a fear that I could be injured or that my car could get wrecked or something. If you are angry at your spouse for not coming home, you've made this beautiful dinner and spent all this time, and your spouse comes home late. If you dig underneath that anger, there is hurt. Hurt that maybe you aren't important or your time isn't important or maybe your relationship isn't what it used to be or something. But there's a hurt underneath that. And so in Mindful Magazine, I was reading an article that I'd like to share with you, and it's by Jeffrey Brantley, MD. He says, scientists say that human beings evolve successfully in part because we have strong emotions, including so-called negative emotions, such as anger, anxiety, and sadness. These protect us because they act as warning bells to alert us that something is wrong. They tell us that we could be in danger, that we need to take action, and that we need to take action to help us deal with a possible threat or the experience of hurt or pain. When anger arises, our instinctive response is to fight back against the threat or the painful feeling. Most emotion researchers agree that anger is made up of fight or flight reaction in the mind and body, plus an insistent inner narrative of thoughts and beliefs about what has happened or might happen next. I'm going to say that again. Plus an insistent inner narrative of thoughts and beliefs about what has happened or what might happen. So that means it's a fight or flight response plus the story that we are telling ourselves about what just happened and what that might mean. And so we all have things that happen in our lives that cause us to feel stressed or to have anger. We have things like coworkers who are short with us, or bosses who speak to us in a condescending way, or we get stuck in traffic jams, or you have a fight with your spouse, or your neighbor, or your sister, or your mother, or your father, or whoever else that is. We have deadlines that we have to meet where we don't seem like we have enough time. The stock market takes a dive. All of those things can cause us to feel stressed, to feel angry, to have anxiety. But the anger or the fear or the anxiety isn't really caused by that momentary action. It's caused by the story that we make up about what that event means. And so, for example, perhaps your coworker is short with you and you translate that to mean that you've done something wrong, or that that coworker doesn't really like you, or that that coworker is out to get you or out to get your job. Your boss is condescending to you, and so you tell yourself the story that he is always like that to you, and that must mean that it's personal, and it probably means that he wants someone else to fill that position that you hold at work. Or you get stuck in traffic, and you tell yourself the story that you are now going to be late to your best friend's wedding, and your best friend is never going to be able to forgive you for not being there on time. Or even if your best friend does forgive you, you're never going to be able to forgive yourself for getting there late. Or you have dinner plans with a friend. Do you ever do this? And you're stuck in traffic or you're running late. And you start this story with, oh my gosh, they're going to be so upset. And they're going to think that I don't respect them or I don't respect their time. And you start getting anxious about it. I do that one. That deadline that you have, you start telling yourself the story that you're never going to complete this on time. And then you're going to either get demoted or get worse yet, get fired. The stock market takes a dive and you tell yourself the story that now you're going to lose everything that you've saved all this time. It's the story that causes the anxiety that we feel and that creates the anxiousness and the anger and the frustration. It's the story. And so there's a quote that I love that is by Michel Montaigne, who is one of the most significant philosophers of the French Renaissance. He says, "My life has been full of terrible misfortunes, most of which never happened." Can you relate? And so the first thing to do when you start feeling stressed out like that is to practice mindfulness. And so by mindfulness, what I mean is to notice what you are thinking and to notice what you are feeling. To name the feeling that you're having. Am I feeling angry? And then to look underneath that anger, am I either feeling sad or hurt or am I afraid? To ask yourself, what am I afraid of right now? And then to ask yourself the question, what is it that I am thinking that is causing me to worry? What am I thinking that is frightening me so much? You know, that story about being cut off by someone, that was a huge aha to me when I realized, because of course I yelled at the guy and called him names, to realize that underneath that was fear, fear that I could have been hurt. You know, if everybody owned what was going on inside of them and looked at what was going on inside of them, road rage would disappear if we could own, oh my gosh, I'm afraid right now. Because that's something that's happening inside of you. That's your responsibility. And so I don't know if you know the work of Katie Byron, but she invites us to ask a question when we're telling ourselves a story like that, to ask ourselves, can I be sure that this is absolutely true? Is this that I'm telling myself accurate? Is it 100% true 100% of the time? Can I know it to be true like that? And if not, you're making up a story. And so we used to have, probably lots of you know, a musician that sang with us regularly, Denise Rosier. And I know one time I had emailed her, and I think the email was about, I don't know if it was about getting together with dinner, if it was about coming here another date, I don't remember. But she didn't get back to me. And she didn't get back to me. And 3 weeks went by, and she hadn't gone back to me. I tell you, for 3 weeks, I had a story going on. Oh my gosh, she must be mad at me. I must have done something wrong because she's not getting back to me. When I get an email from her 3 weeks later, she goes, "I'm so sorry that I hadn't gone back to you. I've been so busy." I really got it then that we do those stories, and that's the thing that causes us anxiety and stress and anger and to be fearful. I totally got it then. And so the third thing to do then is you've looked at what am I feeling and what am I thinking and you're naming it. And then you're asking yourself, is it true? And then the thing is to draw on your spiritual bank account, to draw on the truth that you already know inside of you. Things like, and then to tell yourself that truth, things like, I am safe. Because I am held in that divine presence. I am safe because I'm in God's care and keeping. I am safe because I am an eternal being and nothing can damage that. Nothing can harm or change that. You tell yourself, I am absolutely guided in everything that I do. that divine intelligence guides my actions and my words and my steps. You tell yourself what you know, what you've come to realize out of your own spiritual practice. You tell yourself that God is always for me. That means life is for me also. You take the time to get centered and to breathe and to tell yourself those affirmations and to do affirmative prayer to get yourself out of the spin that you have going on. And so in your white insert today, I've actually shared with you a short treatment. If you would like to read that out loud with me, I invite you to. If you don't want to, you just want to listen, that's fine too. This is out of a book called The Hidden Power for Human Problems. So let's read it together. There is a world within me that is completely free from any sense of irritation. It is the secret place of the Most High, where tranquility reigns supreme. Nothing can enter here without my consent. I refuse to allow it to be disturbed by any intruder. My mind is cool in the face of 1,000 aggravations. God expresses as peace through me. And I want to do it again because this time you'll be able to feel it. There is a world within me that is completely free of any sense of irritation. It is the secret place of the Most High, where tranquility reigns supreme. Nothing can enter here without my consent. I refuse to be allowed by any intruder. My mind is cool in the face of 1,000 aggravations. God expresses as peace through me. You take time to remember the truth. You take the time to get centered back into your own spirit. The song that Stacy sang, you take time to get centered back in there. You take time to remember that God is at the center and circumference of your life. Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of this philosophy, says, "All doubt and fear must go, and in their place must come faith and confidence, for we shall be led by the Spirit into all good." We shall be led by the Spirit into all good. We remind ourselves of that. And so the truth is also those things that cause you anxiety and that are irritating and that cause you stress, they are a catalyst for your growth. They are a catalyst for you to bring something greater forward from inside of you that you have not given birth to yet. That kindness to the person who is unkind to you from the song. It is always an opportunity for you to experience your own spiritual magnificence in a greater way. Everything is an invitation to love yourself and to love other people in a greater way. Everything contains within it an opportunity for greater compassion for yourself and for other people. Everything contains the opportunity for you to experience your own authentic power, the power that can never be disturbed and that no one can take away in a greater way. Everything is an opportunity for you to stand in your own wholeness, for you to stand in your own poise, to stand in your own spirit. Ernest Holmes says, "In reality, each person's spirit is their share of the universal presence in which we all live and move and have our being. Hence, the spirit of the individual is the spirit of God in the individual, The two are really one. And it is this inner spirit which wishes to become more fully expressed through us. That's what's happening. Your spirit, the spirit of God, is seeking to express in a greater way by means of that thing that's pushing your buttons and tweaking you. Everything contains within it the opportunity to live a more spiritually grounded life. And so a friend of ours, Kathy Estrada, who some of you know, she's here today in the back of the room, her nephew, Nick, who's 21 years old, was diagnosed with testicular cancer. And so he has just finished his first round of chemotherapy. And he posted this on Instagram this week. He says, "The unexpected thing about getting cancer is how happy it's made me. I have never been more in love with myself. I don't know if it's the whole thinking more about mortality thing, but everything I do feels right. I know I'm not going to make everyone happy, but I am my new priority. I want to live selfishly and show the whole world that loving yourself and your actions is completely possible. It might have taken cancer for me to get to this state of mind. I wouldn't recommend that. But it's possible for you, and I want it for the whole world. So sincerely, I hope you have a fantastic day, and I'm here to talk. Just message me. I would be more than happy to share my point of view with you." I've never been so happy. I'm surprised at how happy it's made me. Everything contains the opportunity for spiritual awakening. To get in touch with your spirit in a greater way. To open yourself and allow that divine presence to express in you and through you and as you in a greater way. Everything contains that invitation and that opportunity. And the more that we practice love, and the more that we practice compassion, the more that you practice standing in your own power, and standing in your own wholeness, the more you practice standing in peace, the easier it is to do it in the future. And the result is, the more that you do it, the more new neural pathways you create. It's like a path in the woods. The more a particular path in the woods is traveled, the broader it becomes, and the more well-defined it becomes, and the more well-worn it becomes, and then it's easier to walk that path in the future. The more we practice kindness and love and compassion and stand in our own power, the easier it is to do it the next time. And then the easier it is to do it even more the next time. And so the title of my talk today is Staying at Home. And I'm talking about staying at home in your spirit. I'm talking about staying at home in your spiritual understanding and your spiritual knowing as you move about in your life. Staying in your spiritual understanding no matter where you go and no matter what you're doing. It's kind of like we're kind of like ships. You know, a ship is safe in a harbor, but that's not what ships were built for. You are safe and peaceful at home where no one is there to disturb you. That's not what you were built for. You were built to bring spirit into this world. You were built to bring love and kindness and compassion into this world. You are meant to have the deepest understanding and realization of your own wholeness and your own goodness and your own power. And your own potential. You can't do that when you're home in the harbor. You can do that, though, when you take home with you in everything that you do and everywhere that you go. And so that's the invitation, is we take home with us. Because the truth is, you are always home in spirit. No matter where you go, you are always home in that divine power. In that infinite presence, you are always home and you are always safe. and you are always secure. You are always guided. You are always filled with that infinite presence, and it fills your life. And so when we practice mindfulness and when we practice spiritual centeredness, then we maintain poise in our lives as people attempt to push our buttons. And so will you be successful 100% of the time? No. Am I successful 100% of the time? No. I still get my buttons pushed. But what happens when you live from your spirit and when you practice that spiritual understanding, when your buttons get pushed and when you get knocked off balance, you come back so much faster and so much easier back to center and back to poise and back to peace and ease and well-being. And when you get back, then you are empowered to make the choices that are the best choices for you, because you're not reacting, you're responding. That's when we get to make choices that are healthy for us and choices about where we want to go and what we want to do from a place of centeredness and groundedness. And then when we do that, we are automatically a beneficial presence to those around us and a beneficial presence to ourselves. That's what happens. And so my invitation to you and the recap of the talk is, when you are feeling anxious, when you are feeling tweaked, when you are feeling irritated and angry, one, name the feeling. What am I feeling here? Am I feeling anger? If I'm feeling angry, what's underneath that anger? Am I hurt? Am I afraid? What am I afraid of? And second, ask yourself, what's the story I'm telling myself here? Am I projecting the past into this moment that may not even be true? Am I making something up? Can I be certain that what I'm telling myself is 100% true? And three, draw on your own spiritual bank account. Draw on what you know inside of here and tell yourself the truth. Tell yourself the truth. I am safe because I'm in God. I'm safe because I'm an eternal being that nothing can hurt. Tell yourself the truth. That divine presence within me knows what to do and how to do it. And so I just lean into that and allow it to lead me and guide me. Tell yourself the truth. Life is for me. Therefore, this must be for me. Read that little short treatment that was in your bulletin today. Take that with you. And lastly, use that thing that's happening in your life for your growth. Ask yourself the question, what in this moment do I need to know? What's trying to be revealed within me or through me? What is seeking to be made real in me, in my life right now? That's where the growth comes from. Then you're different the next time. You show up differently in the world because you've learned something and you've expanded yourself. So listen within. What am I seeking to know here? What does my spirit want me to know? What does the divine God of the universe want me to know? That I'm whole? That nothing can injure me? What am I trying to know through this? And as a result, you will absolutely be experiencing greater peace and less stress. You'll be experiencing greater poise and less anxiety. You'll be experiencing greater resilience. And you'll be staying at home no matter where you go. And so blessings to each and every single one of you on this path of self-discovery as you discover your own divine nature and that infinite one that wants nothing more than to unfold and express itself in its fullness in your life and in you. Blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so we take our attention right now and turn it to that truth, the truth that resides within us, the truth that is, there is only one, and it is this presence of God. It is the one life and the one power and the one presence and the one beingness. It is that from which all things have sprung forth, and it is that presence that maintains and sustains and uplifts and carries and buoys everything in life. For we are each and every single one of us emanations of that divine presence. We are here as incarnations of that most high God. For the innermost God and the outermost God is one God. That is our individualized use of, an embodiment of, an expression of this one. And so I know that right now we are absolutely living that life of God. And all that God is right where we are at all times. All the intelligence, all the love, all the peace, all the wisdom, all the power is right where we are. Nestled within us is this seed. And so today we water that seed within us simply by recognizing that it is there, by recognizing it and calling upon it and acting as if it is already in full form, acting as if we are already have the power that we need and the wisdom that we need, the love that we need, and we step forward being that presence. And as we do, not only are we unfolding our own spirits and unfolding this magnificence of the divine, but we are absolutely being a beneficial presence in this world, shining the light of God, our own innate nature, our own innate God nature, wherever we go. And so I know that in our openness, the gifts of heaven are poured out into our lives, that whatever we need is made real, is made manifest, is unfolding itself now. And it is for this that I am so grateful. And so it is in this absolute trust and confidence and knowing that I release this prayer, knowing that it is unfolding itself in ever greater ways at every moment in my life. And so I give thanks for this, and I say, and so it is.